Well, it was 72 years ago that I first heard the name Kenita. It didn't make much of an impression, except that the registrar of the college who called it out did so in such a strange way that I couldn't forget it. But it still didn't mean much. It wasn't very long ago till I saw Kenita, and I was a little more impressed than I was with the registrar's pronunciation of her name. I thought, that's a pretty girl. And the more I saw her, the more I was interested in her, to the point that, among other girls I was dating, I invited her out for a date. And she said no. So I just forgot about her until a little bit later I was with a lady who was from her hometown. And she said, why don't you guys date Kenita? I said, I tried and failed. She said, I think you better try again. She's worth knowing. So I did. And I did discover that she was worth knowing. And I associated with her more and more. Began to ask some people what they thought about her, including gospel preachers who had known her and her character. And before very long, I began to think, I don't think I care about these other girls. I think this is the one that I'm most interested in. And I don't care even to date anybody else. And eventually, I asked her to be my wife. And I gave her a ring. And after she said yes. And then, she was not my wife yet. And I want to emphasize that. I'd come to believe in her. I'd come to determine that I was going to have her rather than anybody else. And I had actually expressed publicly my interest in her, my desire to have her for a wife. But she still wasn't my wife until that marriage ceremony was done by my father in her home 69 years ago. I've tried to be a good husband. I have not always known what she needed and what was best for her. I'm sure I've gotten her into some situations that weren't best for her, with even good intentions. And even when I knew that something was best for her, sometimes I couldn't actually produce. I just wasn't capable of it. And then I'll have to confess that there was always a little tinge of selfishness. She may have thought it was more than a tinge. I don't know about that. But there's something selfish about us that's not always completely loving and concerned for other people. But I think you understand where I'm going with that. You hear about Jesus Christ. And when you hear first His name, it may not mean much. But the more you study about Him, the more you know of His love and His concern and His character and His faithfulness, the more you come to realize that He's the only one in the whole world that's worth following. Jesus is all the world to me. And you may actually express that, even in a public confession of your faith in Jesus, but you're not yet His bride. He has said, he that believes or has faith and is baptized shall be saved. The book of Matthew 28:19-20, in a correct translation, says we're baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When a bride becomes a bride and is actually married, she takes the name of the one she's married to. And when you're baptized into Christ, you take His name. You become a Christian. And that carries with it a great deal of responsibility. Jesus is the perfect husband. He knows exactly what's best for you. He's the only one that does. Not only does He know what's best for you, but He can produce it. He can do everything you need Everything that has eternal value, Jesus can provide that for you. And in addition to that, He's all-loving. There's not a tinge of selfishness in Jesus. He is altogether for you. In fact, in that beautiful passage in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, where He speaks about husbands and wives, He says, "Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it." He totally sacrificed Himself so that you could be His bride. You could be a part of that relationship. And in the book of Revelation, it said, "Blessed are those that are invited to the marriage feast of the bride, of Christ, of the Son." And you're invited. You're invited to be a part of that bride. What a foolish thing to refuse to come to the wedding feast and to become a part of the relationship with Christ. That's your ability, your opportunity, even tonight. I'm sure every person here has some faith in Jesus. And perhaps you have come to say, "I'll follow Him and no one else." Maybe you're ready to express that publicly, to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But that doesn't make you saved. That doesn't make you His child. That doesn't make you a Christian. You have to be baptized into that relationship. And you shouldn't delay. It's a serious matter. And how we hope that someone here tonight will make that decision and let it be known as we stand and sing.